love how he says balls.
I know, he cracks me up. I fucking love
Follow
him.
balls.
Ball. Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Miss.
What up?
Oh, you know, just sitting here. Valentine's Day. The day of love.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Time for you to bust out your wine and Casa Erotica and call it a night.
Liz.
What?
Did you know that this episode we are recording right now is our 50th overall episode?
It's our 50th episode?
Our 50th episode.
Holy moly.
That blows my mind right now just thinking about that.
What blows my mind is that we're in season 3, episode 11. We got 50 episodes under our belt.
50 episodes.
Boy, a man. And for thank you for those who have listened this far and have been on this, have been on the road so far.
On this journey.
To the past. Sorry. a little Anastasia for those that are Disney fans. That's not a Disney movie. Is it a Disney movie?
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay, then it's a Disney movie. Oh, I'm thinking of the Swan.
Oh.
That's not a Disney movie. Anywho, I digress. Thank you guys for so much for listening to 50 episodes. Holy moly. Either you really like this series or like you actually might be okay with us talking about it. I don't know.
You like hearing us. You don't like looking at us. We know.
Yeah. Twitter told us. Thank you. I'm a little offended, but you know what? Hunter happy hour. I didn't wear a bag over my face. So Instagram got to see us.
Exactly. And they love us.
They love our faces.
So maybe you should conform, Twitter. If you don't follow us on Instagram, maybe you should start at SPN Balls Pod.
Everywhere.
Yes, literally. Everywhere.
You can find us. We're there. We're there for you.
Just
with
search
arms
it.
Wide open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just, you know what? It's Valentine's Day, and I want to show our fans and the people that listen to us, because now I'm making a judgmental call and like an assumption that people like us enough to be fans. I just want to share the love. And you know what? This episode has my love.
I was going to say, I know why you love lovey mood.
I'm in a lovey mood because my man's in this episode.
My man's in every episode, just saying.
Okay, yeah, I need you to calm down. It's more important and special when they're not there all the time, okay? It makes those moments when they are that much more special.
Calm down.
And you know what?
It's about me, not you.
You know what? The supernatural gods felt it in their powers to not only, for our 50th episode, give us Richard Speight Jr., but felt that on February 14th, 2008, the world needed a little trickster in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this episode, we are talking about season 3, episode 11, Mystery Spot. And it came out February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2008. And takes place in Broward County, Florida. Florida.
My brother calls Florida the nation's Wang.
Interesting. The funniest part is...
Go ahead.
I watched this at Dustin's house, and he happened to kind of hear this episode. And the funniest part about it is all he heard was Mystery Spot. And he goes, so what, Florida?
He knew.
He knew that this was Florida, or that Florida contained mystery.
That's so funny. Before we start real quick, I don't know if anybody remembers when we started season 3, I had posted about having a Hunter of the Week. I think I only posted about it one time. You know, like a little fan shout out, a little follower shout out. And we only got one person that wanted a shout out.
Hey, one is better than none.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can keep up with the Hunter of the Week each week.
What if we do a Hunter of the Season?
Oh, okay.
Pick one per season. At the beginning of each season, we shout out to that Hunter.
I like it. Because I had said, you know, what's your favorite episode of season 3? You know, then you'll be the Hunter of the Week. And I said, if there was more than one Hunter of the Week, it would be a party at the Roadhouse. So our Hunter of the Week, our first one ever, maybe our last, I don't know, is our Twitter friend, Donna of the Dead. And she said that she definitely likes Mystery Spot. It's one of her all-time favorites.
Donna, my sister from another mister. This is also one of my favorites. This, and if I had to hands down, my favorite is probably Changing Channels.
Mm-hmm.
But Mystery Spot is a real close second.
I wonder why.
I mean, they don't have anything in common.
I'm seeing a theme.
There is no theme. But I digress.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with the plot.
Hit me with the plot.
Hit me with your best plot.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. I hate myself now. So that's great. Also, can we do, before we get into the plot?
Do it.
Happy Valentine's Day to all of our wonderful listeners.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Whether you celebrate by yourself, with a significant other, or with your best friends, we hope that you are having a wonderful Valentine's Day, because we love you and thank you for being here.
Hearts, air hearts.
And now continue with your plot.
My best plot. Sam wakes up in a motel room, a flamingo motel room, by the way. Tuesday morning to Asia's heat of the moment, playing on the radio, and finds Dean already up getting dressed, which that kind of surprised him too. Like, Dean, you're already up? During breakfast, they discuss the disappearance of a man at the mystery spot in Broward County, Florida. That night, they break into the attraction, but are confronted by the owner, who inadvertently kills Dean with his shotgun. To Sam's surprise, he sees Dean when he wakes up the next morning, once again getting dressed and lip-syncing to Heat of the Moment. The day appears to be repeating itself, so Sam suggests they visit the mystery spot during the day. As Dean agrees, he is killed by a speeding car. The time loop continues, with Dean getting killed in various ways despite Sam's attempts to circumvent it. 100 Tuesdays later, an agitated Sam notices that the man at the diner is using a different syrup than before. He confronts the man, who reveals himself as the trickster. A demigod who enjoys playing fatal pranks on the pompous. The trickster admits to starting the time loop to convince Sam that he cannot save Dean, but offers to return him to normal. When Sam still tries to kill him, the trickster snaps his fingers and initiates the next morning, Wednesday. The Winchesters decide to leave town, but Dean is gunned down in an attempted mugging. With the time loop broken, Dean remains dead. Months pass, and a distant Sam has become a lone hunter in a search for the trickster. He ignores Bobby's numerous calls, but eventually hears a message claiming that he has located the trickster. The two hunters reunite at the mystery spot, where Bobby prepares a summoning ritual. Realizing the truth, Sam stabs Bobby in the heart with a wooden stake in an attempt to kill the trickster. However, it is but an illusion, as the real trickster appears. Sam begs that Dean be brought back to life and that they would not hunt the trickster anymore. The trickster points out that Dean is his weakness. Both brothers are always willing to sacrifice themselves for one another, and their enemies know it. He restores the timeline to Wednesday with both Dean and Sam intact.
This one got real serious real fast.
Real serious.
And irritated is a nice word to describe Sam.
Oh, God.
Later on in this.
After the 100th day, he was just like... So it was like in 51st Dates, like he could explain the same thing like for 100 days.
Yeah. And obviously Dean dies a different way 100 times.
Did you notice, though, that the first day that they were walking down to the mystery spot, it was like they encountered pretty much like every way Dean was going to die that they showed you in the episode.
That they
anyway.
Showed us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Which is why like they had to have been good. The trickster had to have been getting creative around like day 60.
Yeah.
Because obviously Sam knew about the keys, knew about everything else.
I would have been so bored by that time. I'd be like, I'm done. I'm over it.
At that point, I would just be like, okay, can you just die so we can do this again?
Yeah.
I mean, they made it pretty far when they made it to the mystery spot, and Sam's just sitting there just tearing the walls down with a fucking hatchet.
And then he tells you, like, on other days that they had, that he burned the building down. He, you know, he tore all this shit apart.
Oh, man. I was telling my dad about this episode because I was explaining Heat of the Moment Cocktail and everything, and my dad's like, oh, another song by a band that I love. My dad hates Foreigner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hates You're As Cold As Ice. And apparently he has the same strong feelings about the Heat of the Moment. And I was like, oh, Asia. And he goes, is that who does it? My dad didn't even commit the band to memory, but he knows he hates the song. And I was like, well, that's a shame because that's my Tuesday alarm.
He's like, I can't even give them space in my brain to remember the band name.
That's the funniest part is, so I have three Supernatural ringtones. Okay, I lied. I have four Supernatural ringtones on my phone. One is the theme. The other I use for alarms, which is heat of the moment. I now have one where it's just Dean saying Sammy, like 20 times. And then the final one is the sitcom theme.
Okay.
From Changing Channels. Yeah. So it's funny that I have for my two favorite episodes from the series as two ringtones.
My text tone used to be bitch jerk.
Star Trek is my notification.
The so, hail sound. Did you notice what made a comeback in this episode?
No.
Our friend the EMF detector was
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay, no, you know what I did, because that's exactly when Dean looks at Sam and goes, "Do you know what you're looking for?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, no.
When Dean gets hit by the car, and he's like the next day, and he's like asking Sam what it looked like, and he's like, you peed yourself.
I like the fact that I like the facial expression when it goes from like, he's like, did it look really cool, like you see in the movies?
Yeah.
And then Sam says he peed himself, and he gets real serious and hurt, and he's like, of course I peed myself. I was hit by a car. Lose all bladder control. Like, that's a normal thing. Don't make fun of me.
That happens.
But then, how about you get hit by a car and then come and tell me what it looked like?
What about the blood squirt when he got shot by the robber? Like, that was some excessive blood squirt.
I'm sorry. I lost it at the Acme piano falling. Because I'm sitting there going, oh, man, Looney Tunes.
Exactly. And he gets crushed like a Looney Tune.
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness. And you just see his leg sticking out from underneath.
When he goes to pet the dog.
I love how literally up until that day, the dog did not seem agitated at all.
Right.
But that day, that dog was like, nah, I've seen you 68 times.
Yeah.
Fucking your shit up.
I've been tied up for 100 days now.
I do like the fact that at some point after however long, Dean pointed out to Sam, like, you've done this 100 times and not once did you stop to think to ask that girl for something.
Yeah. Yeah, never ask her what she's doing.
Not once. And Dean kept running into her every time.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Sam. You're supposed to be in it to win it, bud. You're supposed to be looking at all of the facts.
Right.
You're supposed to be looking at all your research, crossing all your T's, dotting all your I's, and the one person you've run into who has not given Dean any kind of a problem, the 100 times he's died is the one person you don't check.
Mm-hmm.
But you pay attention to the guy at the counter.
Yeah, with syrup he eats.
And talk about a slip-up. He wanted to be found out.
Oh, definitely.
There's no reason he would have changed it up. Well, I mean, I guess after 100 days of eating the same thing, you kind of get bored. But
yeah, I think he was getting like bored and like agitated. Like, I really don't want to do this, Sam. You have to figure it out.
Well, and I think that's what he kind of says to Sam at the end when he's just like, look, I've been telling you the same thing I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
But you can't get it through your thick Cro-Magnon skull. Which is, like, Dean's gonna die no matter how you slice it.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do. But you keep going out of your way to try and stop it to the same outcome.
Right.
I was also losing it, that entire, like, opening sequence when Dean's like, come on, it's Asia, you know you like it. And he starts dancing and he gets up. The way that he gets up and moves his head looks so just magical. Like, I don't know. The movement looks inhuman because he's on an angle.
You know what it reminded me of?
Hmm.
When he does the Eye of the Tiger in the car.
Oh, well, that's because he's got his leg up and stuff, and he's got out.
His, like, arm out. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
No, it definitely was very Eye of the Tiger moment. But then he sits there the entire time just, like, gargling for no reason, for an obscene amount of time, making eye contact with his brother, which is just weird.
It's like, what's going on?
He's like, yeah, you impressed. I can gargle a long time.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, why?
I just keep thinking about all the ways that he died.
I know. It's just so creative. It's so very cartoony. And
oh, what about when Sam's on his quest, whatever he's doing, he takes his own bullet out?
Yes.
Like, Sam gives no Fs anymore.
There was at one point, like, I was losing it when Dean got electrified. Electrocuted.
When Sam accidentally kills him with an axe. Sam's just like, Dean... Aw.
And he almost made it.
Yeah.
It was nighttime.
Almost. Sam just ties up the guy who owns the mystery spot with duct tape. Dude's like, we have to, dude, just let him go. It's like, no.
At that point, Sam gave zero fucks. Well, I think because at the same time, like, what did he think he was going to accomplish? Like, what was he going to do if it became Wednesday?
I don't know.
Like, at that point, I can't tell if Sam was just like, balls to the wall, fuck it. Or if he legit thought something was going to happen, but didn't think past, oh my God, I actually did it.
Like, I made it to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, when Back in Time came on the radio. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's awesome. And then Dean gets killed.
Oh, man. That whole, from the first time he intercepts the trickster to the Dark Hunter days.
His dark period.
Well, and you think about it, Sam's already down this dark path. He's already having zero problems killing humans. Mm-hmm. Obviously, legitimately, like, blurs the lines between reality and perceptive trickster.
Right.
To stab Bobby.
Ugh. I knew it wasn't real, but it still hurt. Not my Bobby.
Bobby almost died twice in two episodes.
Something like that.
The only person who hasn't tried to kill him is Dean.
Mm. That's true.
But I don't know. And just the pleading and the, like, I get it, but at the same time, the trickster has a point. And this is the first time that we kind of see him as really not a bad guy.
Right.
Like, here he is. Yeah. He's doing some horrible stuff to Sam, but that's literally the only way to get the point across to him. And then we find out that the trickster's just trying to help because obviously reality isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Telling him isn't doing anything. Dean telling him isn't doing anything. Seeing him die multiple times isn't doing anything. So naturally the trickster's just like, fuck it. Like, I don't know how else to get it across to you, but like, I'm trying to help you because shit's going to go down.
Right. You need to prepare yourself for what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Oh, Sam.
Ah, trickster.
Oh, Richard Spate Jr.
Love it.
If you guys have never seen the little cameo I got for Liz for our podversary, you can see that on our YouTube channel, and it's Richard Spate Jr. giving a little love to Liz.
I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something Dick said. Thank you. I'll be here all night. Unless you want me to keep singing. Do you have any other
requests?
Yes.
I don't know. I couldn't, but
unless you want a tittly bit.
I got some bits of tittle.
Ooh, well, I think we definitely need some bits of tittle on this dear Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. I don't know if any of them are Valentine's tiddly bits, but
they don't have to be themed. I mean, they're already tied to the Valentine's Day episode, which is tied to our 50th episode, which is tied to a Valentine's Day episode of Supernatural.
Which is tied to your favorite person.
It is.
This is our biggest episode.
This is like such a normal episode, but holds so much power.
I know. It's awesome. Okay, so this episode was supposed to take place in Broward County, Florida. But the only palm trees you see are potted plants on the sidewalk, which clearly this was filmed in Canada. And it you can see their breath outside because it's that cold. And IMDb tells me, not sure if this is true. I'm sure on some occasion Broward County, Florida gets a little cold and you can see your breath. But typically, it's not cold enough in Broward County, Florida to see your breath. At least not during daylight hours.
Yeah, I mean, my aunts have a place in Bradenton, and I think the lowest it gets is like maybe high 40s, low 50s.
Yeah.
Which is not really breath, sea, and temperatures.
No. So, we see you, Supernatural, and we know. When the brothers are posing as reporters, interviewing the mystery spot owner, Sam gets worked up and Dean refers to him as Kolchak. This is a reference to the 1970s TV show Kolchak, The Night Stalker, about a newspaper reporter who uncovers supernatural causes in his investigations. And the person who plays Kolchak is Darren McGavin, and you might know him as Ralphie's old man in A Christmas Story, among other things. I know he's done other stuff, but that's where I know him from. In this episode, you will see the deer's head come back. It is in the mystery spot. This episode draws inspiration from the X-Files episode Monday, in which Agent Mulder dies repeatedly and wakes up to relive the same day anew. Monday was co-written by John Sheban, who served as co-producer for the Mystery Spot. While the events of Monday happen on a Monday, the events of Mystery Spot obviously take place on a Tuesday. Additionally, both Monday and Mystery Spot were directed by Kim Manners. Dean says the situation was "the dingo ate my baby" crazy, which originated from a pop culture joke based on a true story of the death of Azaria Chamberlain, an Australian baby girl who died in 1980 after allegedly being carried off by a dingo. Sorry for my bad Australian accent.
That story at all. The only reason I know of "the dingo ate my baby" is in Buffy.
Oh, okay.
Oz's band is "The Dingoes Ate My Baby."
Yeah.
And that's literally the only thing I knew.
I never heard about her death either, but I remember watching Seinfeld and Elaine goes, "but the dingo ate your baby." when Dean is in the shower after drying. Sorry, Dean was in the shower and I just got all, whoo.
You stopped right there because Dean was in the shower.
I paused it and I analyzed it. Okay. So when Dean is in the shower after dying several times, he peeks his head out and asks Sam about breakfast. Someone analyzed this way more than I did, by the way, says when you first see Dean lean out of the shower, his hair is all squished down on his head and there are soap bubbles on his hand and forehead. When the camera pans to Sam and back again, we see that Dan, oh my God.
Wow, get out. Dan, you forgot the E.
That Dean, with his hand unsoaped in a different position and his hair spiked and his face covered in soap without Dean having any time to make such changes. How do you know he didn't have time to do that?
He definitely popped back in the shower. Come on. He doesn't have much hair.
Yeah, there was so much time for him to
he could have been playing around.
Yeah.
We know how boys faux hawk in the shower.
Exactly.
Girls George Washington, so I'm sorry. You don't? Is that what I'm getting from this?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Well then, continue.
Oh, Dean compares Sam's time loop situation to the movie Groundhog Day, which was released in 1993. February 2nd, 1993 was a Tuesday. Thus, Sam Winchester and Phil Connors, the protagonist in the film, were both reliving Tuesdays. And Groundhog Day this year was on a Tuesday.
Oh my God. And my alarm was heat of the moment for my open.
And we're not that far away from Punxsutawney.
Oh my God. Have you ever actually gone?
I have not ever been.
I have been twice.
You're lucky.
It is different. But it's definitely, if you get a chance to experience it once, just do it once.
Yeah. Well, it's way different now.
Definitely experience. Well, yeah. Yeah. The groundhog gets his privacy.
Does he though?
But he doesn't have a bunch of people crowded around screaming his name.
Side note on this, little detour. When I was watching the news on Groundhog Day, John Shumway said that they used to eat him.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew a lot of facts about Phil. I've seen Phil with a beer funnel in his mouth, like they used to give the groundhog alcohol, but I didn't know that they ate him.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey was not happy about that fact. I was like, they don't do that now. It's fine.
Yeah, they used to do a lot of stuff. Like, now he's kind of got the lap of luxury. Like, his little area is bulletproof.
Yeah.
And it's heated. And when he's not doing that, he's in the library and has his own little tunnel system. And you know he's not the only one, right?
Right.
There are seven others.
Yeah.
There's Staten Island Chuck.
Yeah.
Which the mayor is not allowed to touch. His full name, he has a full name, by the way, in case you're curious.
Oh, okay.
It is Charles G. Hogg.
Oh.
And he lives in Staten Island Zoo.
Okay.
He's best known because of his grumpiness.
Oh.
Now Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped him.
Oh!
Just kidding. He didn't drop him.
Oh, okay.
He dropped his granddaughter, Charlotte.
Wait, he dropped a child?
No.
Oh!
Charlotte is the granddaughter of the groundhog.
Okay. Sorry.
Charlotte died a couple days later.
After he dropped her?
Yeah. So now they have, ever since then, they have a layer of plexiglass separating the groundhog and the mayor.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him touch anything after that.
There's Jimmy the Groundhog.
Jimmy.
Buckeye Chuck.
Let me guess, he's in Ohio.
He is. General Beauregard Lee.
Oh my god.
In case you're curious, he...
I'm going with he's in Georgia.
He is in Georgia.
That's amazing.
Chattanooga Chuck.
Oh, where's he from?
He in Tennessee. He's one of Tennessee Aquarium's most popular residents. He's an old boy. And then there's Dunkirk Dave.
Oh.
That's okay. In Chautauqua County, New York. Then there's Thistle the Whistle Pig. And she is the youngest of the groundhogs. And she made her first weather prediction in 2016 at 8 months old.
Oh, she's just a baby.
She a baby baby.
Oh.
She currently lives with an adult male.
Oh.
Named Lake Erie Eddie.
Come on.
But the sad part is she was a run of a litter, so she was ignored by her mother.
Aww.
Which is why she was separated from her mom in place of others. But yeah, I digress. Okay, that has nothing to do with, but I mean, it ties with Groundhog Day.
Let's not get sad about it.
No, back to the mystery spot.
Okay. It was my fault. I went off about Phil. Okay. Sam tries to explain his time loop situation to Dean in a diner, and Dean states it's like the movie Groundhog. In the film Groundhog, the protagonist, Phil Connors, tries to explain his situation to his love interest, Rita, in a diner as well. And both the person experiencing the loop proves it by stating details about the other people in the diner with them and predicting everything that will happen in the diner before it occurs, including items being dropped off a tray table by the waitstaff in both instances.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce. I knew it was going to happen. When someone confronts Ed Coleman before revealing he's really the trickster, Ed says, "My wife's Amelia. I sell ad space." This is the same background as Jimmy Novak in season 4, episode 20, Supernatural, The Rapture. I didn't know it was the same exact thing. They reused it.
I didn't know that either.
We'll have to check on that.
I'm curious.
But that's what IMDb tells me. And you know, it's always factual on there. They're like the TMZ of the movie world. Towards the end of the episode, Sam takes a sawed-off pump-action shotgun from the trunk of the Impala. This is the same shotgun that the brothers found in the episode Supernatural Bad Day at Black Rock, which was Dean's first sawed-off shotgun that he made himself in sixth grade. Technically, Dean is the only character that dies in this episode, but he dies 111 times. Picking a poke. The song that is playing on the clock when Sam wakes up and realizes that it's finally Wednesday is the same song that is playing on the clock radio when Marty McFly wakes up and realizes that he's back from 1955 and Back to the Future. The song is Back in Time by Huey Lewis and the News. Oh, excuse me. Back in Time. What is this? Picking a poke taco?
Yeah. There's a website called Geeks Who Like to Eat. So they do fandom themed food, and obviously Pig in a Poke is prominent in this episode, so I found this recipe and I had to share it with you.
Is it a pancake?
It is. Well, okay, so Pig in a Poke is actually a sausage wrapped in a pancake.
I didn't know
because
that.
They never tell you in this episode what a pig in a poke is, so I was like, what the fuck is a pig in a poke? And it's a thing, and it's literally a sausage wrapped in a pancake.
This looks delicious.
And they created a recipe that is essentially using the pancake as a taco instead of wrapping it up.
With a sausage and hash browns on it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make this now. And apparently Bisquick works the best. I'm saving this. But that's funny that you just said that and we talked about pig in a poke. Because in medieval market days, the gullible might buy a pig in a poke. A baby pig in a cloth sack without checking the content of... to see if it's really the valuable piglet. What they really got was a sack. In the sack was a worthless cat. So a pig in a poke is a con job or a worthless object presented as a thing of value. And letting the cat out of the bag in the sense of revealing a secret comes from spoiling of that scam.
Huh.
You sagooed and didn't even know you sagooed.
I didn't. That was an amazing. Look at that teamwork. Oh my gosh. This is like natural to us. Gosh. We're so good.
Super natural. No? Okay. Jerry Padalecki regards this episode as one of his least favorites. Since he had to cry all week, it was emotionally taxing.
Aww.
Poor Jared. According to Jared Padalecki, this episode was written to serve as the season finale if the writer's strike forced the production to halt. If that happened, Dean was really supposed to be dead in the end, and the trickster would not bring him back. As the strike was settled, the episode continued just to be a regular episode. Because of the strike, though, this season 3 only has 16 episodes instead of 22 episodes. And they actually filmed Usain Bello episode 12 before they shot episode 11.
That makes sense. I could see that.
Yeah. And my last tiddly bit, mystery spots are also called gravity hills, and they're common throughout the world. Though this episode is based in Broward County, Florida, no actual mystery spot is located there. However, there is one called Spook Hill, located just a few hours northeast of Lake Wales. And we have a gravity hill in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I don't know if any of you are from the area, if you know where North Park is. There's an intersection at McKinney Road and Coomer Road. And I've actually done it. It's like the coolest thing. Have you ever been to Gravity Hill?
I have not.
Oh, it's super cool. So what you do is the intersection of Coomer and McKinney is like you're coming down to a stop sign. So you're going down a hill to go to the stop sign. So what you do is you stop at the stop sign and you put your car in neutral. And then you take your foot off the brake. And it actually looks and feels like you're rolling back up the hill. Now, I believe you're rolling back up the hill because I did it. But there's some people who are like, oh, no, it's like an optical, like an illusion or some other shit like that. But I've done it. I suggest you do it. It's fun. That's all I got.
All right. Well, since you're talking about mystery spots.
Spots of mystery.
I'm going to tell you about some mystery spots.
Ooh, do tell.
All right. So I got my information from Roadside America. MysterySpot.com, AtlasObscura.com, and PenLive.com.
Oh, are you going to talk about our mystery spot?
I am.
Oh!
And also OregonVortex.com.
Oh.
So, mystery
spot. Hold on, sorry. Is that the place that they went to on Ghost Adventures?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That place was cool. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So, mystery spots are tourist attractions promising to show physics and nature unexplained, and they generally contain body shrinking or growing tricks, seat balancing, wall walking, bizarre life forms such as animals, cars or balls rolling uphill, and people experiencing feelings of uneasiness and queasiness.
Ooh, uneasy and queasy.
So the most famous mystery spot is actually in Santa Cruz, California, known as the Mystery Spot, and was, quote, discovered in 1939 by a group of surveyors, one known as George Prather, when they were surveying the land and they found an area that they couldn't explain where they felt uneasy.
And
yes. And the Mystery Spot was opened in 1940 to the public. It is actually a California Historical Landmark number 1055 and was denoted a California Historical Landmark on August 22nd, 2014. It is located in the Redwood Forests and affects a circular area around 150 feet. It was featured in 1948's issue of Life magazine and later on the TV show You Asked for It, and is also known as a gravitational anomaly. And in case you're curious and you don't have enough mystery surrounding the mystery spot, it is close to the Bigfoot Discovery Museum and the Port of Mysteries.
There's a Port of Mysteries.
And so the mystery spot is actually a cabin built on a 20-degree tilt. Usually in mystery spots, tilts are hidden. So you might think that you're all standing on a tilt, but really you're standing on flat land. It's all to mess with your center of gravity and other tricks to disorient visitors. In this mystery spot, it actually can contain a 50-degree slope during the tour. Wow. Mystery spots were actually born out of the Great Depression and need for entertainment. This is also around the time that the highway was expanding. I was all over the place with my notes in this one.
I could see you feverishly writing down.
So they were part of the roadside attractions boom, And roadside attractions, according to dictionary.net, is a feature along the side of a road meant to attract tourists, frequently advertised with billboards leading up to the destination. They originated in the U.S. from the 1940s to the 1960s due to the expansion of U.S. highways in the 1930s, but began to decline in the 1950s due to the rise of the interstate system, and many of these are found off of Route 66. Some people do call the mystery spot a tourist trap, which, according to the Merriam-Webster website, says that a tourist trap is a place that attracts and exploits tourists and was actually first used in 1942. So these are all around the 1930s and 1940s, which is why you see a rise of these mystery spots coming up around the same time. Now, other mystery spots, as you said, are generally called gravity or gravity hills. So Pennsylvania actually has three.
Whoa.
Bedford County has Gravity Hill, which is just outside New Paris, Pennsylvania, and is known for cars to roll uphill and water to flow the wrong way. Now, when you roll up, obviously safety first, because these are all actual working roads, you have to make sure that no one is behind you.
Correct.
Then put your car in neutral, then take your foot off the brake. And after you take your foot off the brake, your car will seemingly move and start to pick up speed as it rolls seemingly uphill. Now, Gravity Hill out in Bedford County actually contains two gravity hills, with the second one just slightly down the road from the first one. And it is the only gravity hill in Pennsylvania that has signs and markers leading up to it to show you where to start.
Oh, well, that's nice.
The other PA gravity hill is located in Allison Park, PA, which is one you were talking about in North Park. Mm-hmm. And the other is in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, and this has the most extreme slant of the three gravity hills, but is also the busiest road out of the three, so if you visit it, be very careful. There are other mystery spots, which I'm going to list, some with information and some just by name. There is the other mystery spot. Literally, it's called Mystery Spot. Both of them are called Mystery Spot. So it's Mystery Spot, Santa Cruz, California. There's Mystery Spot, St. Ignace, Michigan.
Sure.
And was found by surveyors Clarence, Fred, and McCray from California in the early 1950s. Then there's the Cosmos Mystery Area in Rapid City, South Dakota, which was found by two college boys looking to build a cabin for the summer and found a weird area that made them uneasy and queasy.
I gotta write that down. uneasy and queasy.
And they would then find an old house where they felt odd.
Just
and
odd.
And thus, the Cosmos Mystery Area was born.
We just feel odd.
There is the Mystery Hole.
What?
Yes.
I forgot I was on mute. You missed my laugh.
Wait for it.
Mystery Hole.
The Mystery Hole in Anstead, West Virginia.
Oh, well, that explains it.
they don't church up the fact that it's gitchy. I mean, they have a Volkswagen Beetle sticking out of a wall. They have a giant gorilla sticking on the roof.
Oh, okay.
So whereas some places are like, mystery, is this room really tilting? It's kind of like the Disney, is this room really stretching?
Yeah.
This one's just like, no, we having fun here. so they are an open tourist attraction. They are okay. Not like, this place is full of mystery and the unexplained. This place is like, yo, this place is weird. Come on in.
Right.
As you had mentioned, there's Spook Hill in Lake Wales, Florida. Mm-hmm. Now, this actually contains a large sign at the entrance of Spook Hill with the legend.
Oh, it gives you some background.
Yes. So according to the sign, the legend is that many years ago, an Indian village on Lake Wales was plagued by a giant alligator.
Oh no.
The chief of the Indian village eventually killed the alligator during one of its raids in a battle that created a small lake.
The killing of the alligator made a lake?
Apparently the battle created a lake.
Oh, okay.
The battle created the lake.
I gotcha. I'm following now.
Later on, the chief would be buried on the north side of the lake. As years progressed, pioneer mail riders and their horses would eventually discover this area, and they noticed that their horses were laboring going downhill, giving the hill its name, Spook Hill. Now, the question that they leave you to determine is this the gator seeking revenge or the chief protecting his land?
Oh.
This area of Lake Wales, Florida, Spook Hill, was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 2019. Then there's the Oregon Vortex.
The Vortex
in Gold Hill, Oregon. Originally a mining company office and a curio shop, is now the House of Mystery.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, if you go to their website, they will tell you that the Oregon Vortex is a spherical field of force, half above the ground and half below the ground. And the term vortex means a whirlpool of force. Because why not? And then they go into galaxies.
A whirlpool? Far, far away? What?
They compare it to the Milky Way.
Oh, okay.
But other, just to give you an idea of mystery spots not being so, you know, special. because if you boil it down, they are all roadside attractions, even if they boast. Because you've seen those things online where they're, the sun isn't going to be in this area, so put your broom down and it'll stand on its end.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So most of them are clever illusions masked in a way that you might not notice. But the gravity hills are actually magnetic hills, and there's no real, it's all based on your perception.
Yeah. It's still fun to do though.
To get creative. We have a gravity hill, and they're literally, I'm just going to say we're going to have a gravity hill, and I'm going to start listing where they are because they're all called gravity hill.
Give us the hills.
All right. So for gravity hills, we have Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh.
Silicaga, Alabama, Helena, Arkansas.
Are we going in alphabetical order?
We're going in state order, yeah. Yacumba, California, La Jolla, California. We have an unmarked gravity hill in Moreno Valley, California.
Unmarked.
Sonoma, California. California is just a really weird place.
Apparently.
Fort Gaines, Georgia. Waluku, Maui, Hawaii. Mooresville, Indiana. Covington, Kentucky. Greenfield, Massachusetts. New Paris, Pennsylvania. Obvi. Salt Lake City, Utah, Prosser, Washington, Schulzburg, Wisconsin, and then we have Magnetic Hill, Moncton, New Brunswick, and Chartierville, Quebec. Then we have Haunted Gravity Hill.
Whoa.
Altadena, California.
That's like double the fun.
Uh-huh. Confusion Hill in Piercy, California. You'll love this one. Booger Hill in Cumming, Georgia.
It's in Cumming, Georgia.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So according to this, Booger Hill is also a haunted hill because it is said that ghosts of enslaved people who don't want visitors there are the ones that pull your car back up the road and are said to leave handprints
on their windows. Okay, then. That's interesting.
So that was their explanation for how the cars come backwards. Then there's Big Mike's Mystery House Rocks and Big Mo in Key City, Kentucky.
Big Mike's.
Big Mike's. That also is the home of Mammoth Cave.
Oh, okay.
Mystery House Rocks and Big Mo.
I get it. Do you think Mike is actually little?
I don't know.
He's just compensating.
But it is totally like classic roadside, which has like total stoner visuals of like the 1970s and a gift shop you enter through a giant skull.
Oh, heck yeah. It's my kind of place.
It has a giant, what is this? I'm looking at the picture right now. Their mystery house on the grounds was opened about 40 years ago. And apparently it has a world record skull of Big Mo. And Big Mo was the T-Rex of the sea.
Oh.
And was unearthed in Kansas in 1994.
Interesting.
Hence Big Mo. Then we have, to keep going with this, Gravity Hill, Church Magnet, Malcolm, Michigan. Then we have the Montana Vortex and House of Mystery in Columbia Falls, Montana. Then we have Gravity Hill Ghost Children. That's in Lewisberry, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that sounds creepy. Did the children push your car?
So this one tells you that you want to park near train tracks and ghost children from a doomed school bus push you away.
That was on Ghost Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell you they debunked it, but they debunked it.
Well, I mean, everyone says that there was no bus tragedy. So there's no dead children, even though that is such a trick-or-treat thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the ghostly gravity hill in San Antonio, Texas. And that one is said that if you park your car in neutral, child ghosts will push you about 30 feet uphill.
Okay.
Onto a spot crossed by train tracks.
Oh, so they're pushing you into the tracks.
Yeah, but the tracks don't exist anymore, but they're still trying to keep you going.
Okay.
and then you have the Wonderworld Anti-Gravity House in San Marcos, Texas. And that's all I got for those.
That's a lot of mystery spots.
There's a lot of mystery spots.
It's a lot of gravity hills.
The funniest part, have you ever gone to a mystery house?
No.
I'm trying to find. So I, we were supposed to go to the, we were going to go to Abitus Springs Brewery, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were in Kentucky. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm going to surprise my boyfriend so much because he likes beer. We're going to go to this brewery. And we started driving there and we passed the Abitus Mystery House. And I was like, fuck it, we're going there instead. So we went to the Abitus Mystery House.
Uh-huh.
This place is potentially the strangest thing you will ever see. It felt like, have you ever seen House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yes.
You know Spalding's?
Uh-huh.
It was like Spalding's. Ooh. Meets the mystery spot.
Whoa.
So it's located in Abitus Springs, Louisiana. And oh my gosh, it's also apparently the UCM Museum, which I didn't know. So it's a folk art environment. Like you can see a miniature southern town with push buttons that animate.
Okay.
As well as literally every type of gator thing you can potentially imagine, like a duck-a-gator. They have a duck-a-gator. That's a thing.
Duck-a-gator.
I remember it. Is it an alligator or is it a dog? The dog-a-gator. Because
if I was going to picture two things breeding, it would be a duck and an alligator.
Yeah, they have a general store. They have art prints. They have literally, like, when you see when you think of an Airstream, uh-huh. You think of, like, that giant metal Twinkie.
Yeah.
They have one of those. They have a House of Shards. They have the Bassigator. They literally have a comb collection. If you find yourself in Abita Springs, fucking go to the Mystery House.
It's a must-see.
It is the weirdest. I will find a picture of the outside or something, and I will post it to our Instagram and our Twitter just to show people. It is the strangest thing. But I've been to one. I haven't been to one that, like, is super tilted or anything, like these other mystery spots that are kind of played off in this episode. However, yeah. I have been to a mystery house, and that place is weird. But that's all I got for you on mystery spots. Nothing about any tricksters in there or anything.
No. Well, gosh darn it, Liz.
I'm the worst. Obviously.
The worst, indeed.
The worst. However, if anybody has actually been to a mystery spot, please tell me about it, because I am the curious. The most curious. Wow, English.
The curious. I am the curious.
I was trying to, like, I wanted to say the curiousest, but it doesn't sound good.
The curiousest.
The curiousest. I am the most curious about it because I want to know what you think. Like, have you gone to a gravity hill and done that thing like Missy did? Or have you gone to, like, a mystery house and dealt with, like, the tilted walls and everything and poured water where it looks like it's really not, like, hitting a wall? I don't know. I need to know. Send me pictures.
Tell us of your mystery spot.
Heat of the moment.
I hope everybody appreciated me singing it both times I said it.
I appreciated it.
Thank you.
And when we wake up tomorrow, it'll be Monday.
Yes.
Whether you're for Dean, whether you're for Sam, whether you're for the Trickster or Bella or Bobby.
Ruby.
Blonde or brunette. I guess you can have both or one. I don't care. But blonde is better. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Whether it be Valentine's or Galentine's, or what would the boy equivalent be? Boyentine's.
Boyentine's. Dudentine's.
Dudentine's. I like
Dudentine's.
That.
Dudentine's. I don't know. When I was growing up, D-Day was always like doomsday to me.
Oh, yeah.
We always got together, my girls and I, and we would make a fuck ton of food on, like, a buffet of chocolate and just snacks. And we would sit there for, like, 8 hours together watching horror movies.
That sounds like a pretty awesome day.
I still do it. Every year I watch My Bloody Valentine.
Such a... Ugh. Jensen.
So there you go. tossing my bloody Valentine, and happy Valentine's Day to you and yours.
I feel like I'm gonna take your witch roll and have it for myself this year.
Yep. It's wonderful. You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Look, it's my Valentine's Day gift to you.
Oh, thank you so much. All I can give you is the 50th episode.
That's enough for me. How do we sign off on our 50th?
I don't know. I feel like it should be. I was just thinking that. I was like, I feel like it should be something big.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening all the way through our 50th episode, The Mystery Spot.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. We got to celebrate with a little bit of Valentine's Day, a little bit of Trickster, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of Spot.
A little bit of Dean in the shower.
Soap in his eyes and around. I feel like we're doing the weirdest Mambo number 5, which I guess is like the Valentine's Day Mambo 50.
I like it. A little Lou Vega.
Yeah, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the shower. Come on, let's drop.
Come on, let's die, because that's where he died, in the shower.
I just need to die in the shower. So the mystery spot around the corner.
If you would like to hear more of our music.
He wants
styling.
A pig and poke, and he really don't want... Okay, I'm done. I'm cut me off. Nobody's listening to us anymore.
Shut up. Yes, they are. They listen to the very end.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, so don't forget to like, share, comment. All that stuff helps us rate. It all helps us be seen so we can get more friends. We like having friends.
We want to keep growing this SPN family, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've talked to people that that listen to us that have just started watching Supernatural.
So I love that.
That's pretty awesome.
Because obviously I forced you to watch it, so I want other people to watch it. Exactly. So. The more people I can watch can get to watch Supernatural and to listen to us, yes.
I wouldn't say I was forced to watch it, I was encouraged to watch it.
Strongly encouraged, but not
I really
like
enjoyed it. So it wasn't like a like a thing I had to get through.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like Adam's family values. Yeah. Like, stuck in a cabin, forced to watch it.
Yeah.
It was just strongly encouraged.
Yeah.
And look where we turned out.
I know. So exciting. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. I feel like I've done your stuff that you normally do at the end of the episode. And I feel a little weird about it. I feel a little uneasy and queasy right now. I'm like, I'm just the one that normally says bye at the end. And
Now I'm just over here going, bye.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Bye.
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 You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.